Harley Chopper. And had longer hair. I remember this. He had hair. Correction. What he's always had is enthusiasm and excitement about the gospel. And so I hope you'll lift him up in prayer tonight and that you will pay attention, as I know that he wants to share the words of Christ aright. And that it would do something to bless your life. They would have a message that would actually work in you. And so would you remember him, and would you give him your smiles and your attention, our brother and elder Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brother Joel. Hey, this works well, doesn't it? I'll try not to yell. Good evening to each one of you. It's been a real long time since I stood before you. Good evening to those of you that are live streaming. I do have some new technical stuff that I'm going to play with. Hopefully it's going to work in advancing the PowerPoint. One of the things that the Lord kind of impressed upon my heart was the topic that you see right now, stumbling blocks. They are a fact of life. It's kind of interesting what Brother Joel had to say, because really this kind of just folds right in with the things that he was talking about this morning. This presentation is going to have something for everybody. People as old as Hubert to as young as the youngest in here, okay? So it's going to be for everyone. So I hope it'll make some sense to you tonight. So I want to start off with the book of Ether in the 5th chapter in the 28th verse. It should be a very familiar scripture, and it's something that has everything to do with stumbling blocks. I give unto men weaknesses. Now, that means not just the men, okay, women. It's men and women, okay? I give unto men weaknesses that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. So, these words I know are true, not because I find it in the Book of Mormon and through in Ether. I know it because I applied it to my life, and it works. It truly works. And so anything that's true that comes of God, if you apply your faith to that word, he will reveal the truth to you. As our brother Joel this morning was talked about, the grace that comes through Christ, that first grace that came through him dying on the cross, that we might have life, that we might be raised up to stand before him, no longer separated from our God. There's that more grace that comes, and it comes through applying these principles in our lives. The next thing, there's a lot of different scriptures I could have grabbed, but I like Isaiah. I enjoy reading Isaiah. I find comfort in the words of Isaiah. And so I want to read this. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So it's an invitation. If we understand that first scripture in the book of Ether, which brings about humility, and Brother Aaron preached a very good sermon about humility, which if that humility is spawned by applying the truth to your life, by measuring how is my life against the light against the truth, which when you find that you really don't measure up, it's a humbling experience. And then the contriteness comes in when you take that humility and you step out in faith to hand it over to the Lord and make those changes in your life, being contrite. That's the practical application of those two words, humble and contrite. So if you have that going in your life, and guess what? Just like Brother Joel said this morning, it's a big circle because it's getting tested always. And you are having to apply your faith and bringing you back into humility and contriteness, and you continue to grow. That's called going on to perfection, okay? And all these elements have to be in your life for all that to work. This is important, to revive the spirit. That's why. Of the humble. Remember, I give men weaknesses that they might be humble. So when you get knocked down by the Lord because you understand that you fall short and you make those changes in your life, this is the promise. He'll revive the spirit in you of the humble. And he will revive the heart of the contrite, meaning that it'll bring back that peace that you lost because you stepped out of the boundaries of the truth of God, as he has called men to do through his Son. So that revive is to recover, repair, restore, and be whole. That's what that means. And when you look in the scripture, when you see recover, repair, restore, or be whole, all those are also words used in the scripture in the place of revive. Here's a good example, King David's example. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. To let me live. Think about that. You think about the things that David found himself contrary-wise to the laws of God that he knew. And yet he was very quick to acknowledge his God and to humble himself before him. So all these things that we're talking about right now can be summed up in the next slide. Are you ready? What do you see there? Let's see. Do not climb, play on, and around pipe. Let me see. I don't only see kids there. Kids, who else do you see climbing around on that pipe? You see teenagers and adults on there, don't you? And you see boaters all around it. You see all kinds of people. It's human nature. And I believe it's summed up in one picture, as it says here. Our nature is because we live in the flesh, we find ourselves stumbling throughout life. Because even though there's signs and warnings and everything that's there, you find them still climbing around on the pipe. And we do the same thing in the scripture. When we know those things are there and we've read them or we heard them across the pulpit, whatever it might be, we find that sometimes we ignore them. And then we get ourselves into trouble. And sometimes it's a whole lot of trouble. And it takes a lot to get back into the grace of God. But in all that, again, you remember I was telling you, it's a one big round. There is a way back. There's always a way back as long as there's breath in this body. and that this heartbeat is working and my consciousness is open. There's always a way back. Okay, stumbling blocks. You find in stumbling blocks in the Old Testament, you see the Strong's word, it's mikshol. It's used as stumbling block, stumbling, offense, offend, fall, or ruins. All those words are used for that same word. So when you read through your Old Testament and you come across those particular words, it's speaking of the same thing. A stumbling block, something that is going to cause you to fall from grace. Okay? And then as we go, I'll have an example here of the Old Testament. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense. That same stumbling block word is offense to both the houses of Israel. So they're speaking of Christ. And it was a stumbling block to all of Israel. Right? A big stumbling block, even to this day, to many of the house of Israel. And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And that's the book of Isaiah. So there's two good examples of how it's used as an offense and stumbling block in the words, and an example of what that's a stumbling block could be to a whole nation. That would have been Israel. So we also have it in the New Testament. We have the Greek word is proskoma. It's a stumbling block, stumbling stone, offense, and stumbling. It is a mirror of that of what you can find in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, there's actually two words that deals with stumbling blocks, and it's called scandalon. What does that kind of sound like? A scandal, yeah. But it's the Greek word. Offense, stumbling block, occasion to fall, occasion of a stumbling. Anyhow, you have those two different words that are you can find in the New Testament with those two strong Greek words. So you can find in there that here's where they're choosing both of those. The stumbling block and occasional fall. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, I picked that because it speaks to what I'm talking about tonight, the stumbling blocks, okay? So, think about it, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Can anybody kind of think of a good example? It doesn't have to be a modern time example. An example of this particular thing? It could be, I'll give you one. I'm driving down the road, and I'm in the HOV lane. And this Mercedes parked on my bumper, and I'm doing the speed limit. And I'm going, I'm staying right here. That clown can go around me. And then all of a sudden, he goes like this and runs out, and he didn't look. And he smacks into somebody and kills somebody. Wasn't I a stumbling block for him? Kind of. I provoked him, right? Even though I was in the right, I wasn't in the right. My wife reminds me of that. But that's just a kind of a thing. But there are spiritual things in our lives that we do that we can be a stumbling block for somebody else and cause them to fall. And you can think about it in your mind and your heart, and you can go down that path. I'm not here to go, okay, what did you do? I'm just saying you need to think about this, all right? Because it goes both ways here. And so And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. So here the word can be both of them. Okay? Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Meaning the words. The words. So the word of God. So you see both of them and how they can be applied in the scripture, in Romans and also in 1 Peter, as he's speaking about that. So I'm hoping this is kind of getting some of those thoughts in your heart and mind about where is he going with this, the stumbling blocks, because I'm going to start off with sources of stumbling blocks. We're going to look at sources of stumbling blocks that we can identify and see if we can see if that can help us in our life. So the first one is Satan, right? He can be a stumbling block. He's the biggie, right? He's here to deceive. He's here to give you bad ideas, influence you in such a way that you can be a stumbling block to people around you. What's his goal? He's the father of lies, right? And what's his goal? It's for your destruction, right? He wants you to not succeed. He wants a lot of company. And so really, that's why I put Satan right up to the top. Now, for your younger set, you're going to have to help me out here. Okay. Where's Ethan? Oh, bummer. All right, Ethan, I see you're looking at at the video. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. Now, any of you kids know who this rascal is? Who is he? Yes. There. See, I knew they would know that. And what did he do? He did something that the Satan tempted him to do. Yes, what did he do? He wanted to, didn't he? He killed him, didn't he? He was able to cause him to die. Yes. And so that's the same thing with us in our lives. If we're not careful, he can put a stumbling block in our life, not only to kill us spiritually, but he can kill us physically in the sense of doing stupid things, right? So it's important for us to understand that. Those stumbling blocks can be the matter of life and death, either way. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, again, the faith, that's what Brother Joel was speaking about this morning, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Just because you're part of the church doesn't mean that they're all going to go away. You're going to have the same kind of things come into your life as those that are in the world. But it's up to us to resist steadfastly through our faith. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Who suffered to one of those stumbling blocks? Any of you have suffered? You understand that? Gave you a lot of pain and angst and all those kinds of things that go with you didn't resist it. Some things can be with your life. You may have them all your life, having to deal with that. Make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is that when it says goes on to perfection that Brother Joe was speaking about this morning. This is part of that plan to try to avoid the stumbling blocks. And if you fall into them, there's a way out through the grace of God, through repentance, humility, and contriteness. And you'll suffer through it. But if you apply your faith, you will have peace again. You will be revived. You will be restored. That's the promise. Okay, what's another stumbling block? Just like I showed at that first slide, life. Life is a stumbling block, isn't it? Warning, life is not fair, right? Life's not fair. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Meaning those stumbling blocks, they're not discriminate. They happen to us all. And it doesn't mean just because you find yourself in some kind of predicament that you didn't cause, it doesn't mean that you are a bad person or that, you know, those kinds of things. It happens. You can be affected by that, by the stumbling blocks of others. Just like that example I gave you when that guy in the Mercedes got disgusted and pulled out in front of me, and this poor person behind him in that other lane smacked into him and ended up in the hospital. Was it because that person behind the car was doing anything wrong? No, it wasn't. Life is not fair. That's why we always have to be prepared to meet God, right? Always in our life. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a very important part that you need to apply in your life, using wisdom and applying those things. Circumspectly, looking around every way, cautious, careful, conscious, what's going on around you, and unwise, mindless, stupid, ignorant, egotistic, rash, or unbelieving. All those things are part of those two words. So the next one, your enemies. What are those enemies? Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Has anybody applied the experiment to Matthew 5:44 in your life? Have you? You have? Anybody else? Yeah. Does it work? Okay. Each one of you that says it works, you know, it's truth to you now. It's not by faith. It's through a practical application. It's now knowledge, truth. You can speak with authority when you talk to people that works. And I can say the same thing because I've applied it in my life. And it works. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is becoming perfect, even as I or as your Father. That's what Christ says. That was in his resurrected Christ when he was there in 3 Nephi, and I forget where it is, but it's when he was there with our brothers and sisters after his resurrection. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. All things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that you should be perfect. There it is, right? So I should have read my own slide. Even as I or your Father, which is imperfect, is in heaven, is perfect. 3 Nephi 5:91-92. I like that scripture because when he was alive in the flesh, he said, even as your Father. He did not include himself in that word. He was very specific. And so you can see the difference. When he was in the flesh, he did not say that. He was giving us the example that we were to that perfection came from his Father. But once he was resurrected and with his Father, then he applied himself to it. So the next one, friends. This is an important thing because friends can be stumbling blocks if you're not careful. So let's see what we got here. James 4:4. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Many times we struggle with the friends that we have. They can bring stumbling blocks into your lives. And you have to be very careful with this. So let's look at some of the scriptures. In Ephesians 5:6-8, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. You've applied that experiment. You went through the gate. Walk as children of light. Not only light for yourself, but for those around you. For the fruits of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, like we just talked about a little bit earlier, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what the Lord calls us to do. And to avoid those stumbling blocks that could come with the friends that we may choose to have. Whoops. So the next one, what do we have next? We have family. Stumbling blocks in families. Now, there's going to be, I've got several different slides and groups of slides under here because it was one of the focus of why I put some of this together as well. Family. I thought it's wrong to judge others. Was that little Jimmy or Tommy or whatever his name? I forget. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let's look at this a little closer. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. I goofed her up there, huh? Which is the first commandment with promise. Let's just slip right over here to this one. There we go. There she is. I was trying to underline it, and I got too busy with it. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It's important to understand this concept of honor and children obeying your parents in the Lord. There's all kinds of parents and children in all different kinds of households. What do you think it means when the scriptures, because this does come from the Old Testament, when the Lord was, through Moses, was teaching the children of Israel that they were to honor their father and mother, that they would live long in the land. What is your thought? What kind of thoughts come into your mind when it says to honor? Maybe the first one to respect, maybe, right? And by respecting, it would be no different than if you think about, if you're old enough, an old enough child, and you're thinking about the Lord, what is your thoughts towards the Lord in your spiritual life? You have the choice of either honoring or not honoring it, honoring God. It's something that Christ speaks about. When he was in the garden, what, you remember when he was praying and then he said something, not my will, thy will be done. He was giving honor to his father. His father was asking him to do something difficult. Now, I don't want you to say that I want it, it's in the Lord. He had the opportunity. He could do 12,000 legions to come and take him away from this. But he honored his father to keep the commandments that was given him. He gave that honor to his father. It's something that it is our will to give. It's important to understand that. Because there are some fathers and some mothers that are not very good. And maybe not that very, they're not honorable, as we can see it through the scripture. But guess what? How did you get here? How did you become? That's something for you to think about. Because I have a life fulfilled in Christ because of my mother and father. Even though they had problems in their life, I honor them for that. Because I can stand before you today and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they got married and they had me. I have purpose. If you can't honor your father and mother in this thought, what purpose are you? Anybody could pop out a kid, right? Think about it. Nowadays, they're doing it for the Petri dishes. Honor your mother and father. They may not always be right in your life. It's up to you to pray and to work out your salvation in fear, knowing that God has asked you, this is a commandment to do. And it's difficult at times. But I can tell you that it may be well with you. Thou mayest live long on the earth. I know that to be true. Fathers. Now this is on the other side of the shoe, right? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now if you're doing that as fathers, it's going to be hard for your children to apply the commandments in their life, to honor you, to give you honor, because you're the one that brought them into this life. Because you can take it to that point, and you can provoke them to that point where then Satan can step in, like we talked about earlier, like what Scar did to the king. Killed him. So it's very important for fathers to take these things seriously as they're teaching their children. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And this is, you see wrath, and you could see that in your mind, but discouraged. Discouragement. You could wound their faith if you're not careful. If you don't apply the principles of the gospel in your life in helping the children along the way, teaching them and raising them, lest they be discouraged or disheartened or dispirited, their spirits be broke through grief and trouble. Don't we have a lot of that in our world today? And despairing of having any share in the affections of their parents, disregard their commands, instructions, and corrections, and grow obdurate or stubborn and rebellious. And you see a lot of rebellion in young people today, because they're single family homes, no father, or the father or mother is a half father and mother, whatever it might be, and they don't know how to live their own life, let alone trying to raise another. So it's important for us as those who espouse Christ to be able to take this seriously. And there are, what very beginning, human nature. We don't come with all those DNA instructions on how to do it. We have to learn how to do it. We have to learn by example. We have to see it. I had a hard time picturing who a father was in my life. I was always looking for somebody else because the one that I had, was, you know, at the time, it wasn't a good one. So, but guess what? I applied my faith later on in life, and I was able to overcome that, and I give honor to my father, and I love him. And that's because of the blood of Christ. And I want good for him. And I want good for all those who despitefully use me or anything else. That's the gift of honor is another term that you find within your life. Not only with your children, but other people around you. Fathers, but bring them up, what, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it's a learning process, not only for the fathers, but the kids and the kids and the fathers. And in the Book of Mormon, Mosiah 2:27, but ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. Those are the things that have been placed upon the fathers as the head of the household. And then that promise, the Lord speaking to Abraham, fathers and mothers are included in here. For I know him, the Lord speaking concerning Abraham, that he will command what? His children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. And to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him, which was that being able to go into the promised land and to be a nation. And really, the seed that came through, that Christ was born. Husbands and wives, now we're kind of putting the kids aside. Let's see what those stumbling blocks within the families and husbands and wives. I put this, as you read in your Bibles, if you have a study Bible, sometimes they stop at verse 21 of Ephesians 5:21 with this, and then they go on to other things, but really it's a continuation. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Because that's how he was summing it up. And it's almost like chiastic in nature here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That same word, submit and submitting, is the same word. So I could read that one up above, verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's how I could have written it. Because it's the same word. But in our King James, they put the ing on the end of it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I like these scripture verses because it's all inclusive in our roles and our responsibilities towards each other. And sometimes we rebel, don't we? We don't always submit. Sometimes we kind of, well, whatever, from time to time, don't we? And so what does it cause in our relationship? What kind of a picture are we painting for our kids when we do these kind of things? If we are not going to submit to whatever reason, the husband or the wife, and we have this confusion and this contention in the family, what are the kids going to think? What lessons are they learning? You know? They become stumbling blocks in their lives. Depending on how they're raised, they could be stumbling blocks, scars, and things that last them all their life. And I know we don't want to do that. So that's how important it is. Yes, the kids have choices, but it gives them that much more of a mountain to climb. they can be redeemed. The last one is you. You can be a stumbling block yourself. Gee, that's too bad. What did you slip on? Myself, right? Isn't that the case? He's pretty well bunged up, isn't he? So Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You giggle, but you know it's true, right? Okay, so terms of discipleship, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross daily, his cross, the thing that he has to bear in his life, whatever it might be. You were born in this life, life is not fair. Okay? And follow me, follow Christ. Follow his example. Follow after Christ. So what does that mean? Right? You have to surrender. You have to give up your will and surrender to Christ. And I felt that way too. The Lord finally put me down and surrender. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, if you just kind of read it fast, you kind of get confused. But think about that. How many people out there are trying to save their life? Their way. They even have songs. I'm going to do it my way, right? They think they have a better way of doing it. They have a better life, whatever. Whatever good thing that the world offers that they can have. But the Lord said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, meaning giving up those things in life that are so important to everybody else, that seem to be so important, and the gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a good question. I guess if you don't believe that you have a soul that's eternal, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you stand before that judgment day and go, goodness, I guess it did make sense. Whoops, wrong button. Are you a stumbling block or a stepping stone? This is the next phase, okay? So we talked about stumbling blocks and all the different aspects of it, things that can be stumbling blocks. Now, are you a stumbling block or a stepping stone? So here's some stumbling blocks. Put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Colossians 3:8-9. All those things are all human nature in the sense. It works with all of our weaknesses in our lives. The thing that is very, you know, all this stuff, you can't drive on the freeway, you can't go to the grocery store, and you're not going to hear or see some of these things. Just a 20-minute ride and walking through the store. You're going to see a majority of all these things, these stumbling blocks. And sometimes when one of those stumbling blocks steps on me and causes me to fall, then I become part of the problem, not part of the solution. So we have to be very careful. Are we a stumbling block or are we a stepping stone? Becoming a stepping stone. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death or to discipline by self-control the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if you consciously work at these things to put them out of your life, and they'll sneak in. They will sneak in, but it's for you to stamp them back down and make sure they're dead. And it may take all your life working at it. But there's a scripture about that in Proverbs in the 24th chapter. But if we're led by the Spirit of God, we become the sons of God, and we become a stepping stone for those around us, because we may not escalate the problem. Or we might, just through our actions, calm the person, whatever it might be. We could be a stepping stone for somebody, not a stumbling block for somebody. And that's what God has called us, and through Christ, His Son Christ, to be a stepping stone for those that are caught up into the world, helping them to understand that there's a better way. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And again, that was another thing. It's really interesting how Joel's sermon and things kind of all mesh together with mine and Ronnie's statement, where your affections are. Has God spoken to you today? Because if your affections are on above, the Lord is going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. If you've done something dumb, He's going to whack. He's going to hit you, right? And you're going to go, there goes your pride, there goes everything. You feel it. And you know you've done something stupid, and what? You've disappointed your God. You feel that. It's like a kid that... They truly love their mother and father, and they've done something stupid, and they look at you like, what am I going to do? You know? Then you know you've disappointed them. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So the difference between the stumbling block and the stepping stone is how you use them. Right? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, all these things are what? It's kind of summed up in one word. Charity, right? Yeah. But the thing that helps me to remember all those things is that very last statement. If any man have a quarrel against any, but even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If you remember the forgiveness that Christ gave you, no matter what it was that you did in your life, if you could just remember that, these other things will fall in place. It will help you in your life to be stepping stones in other people's lives. Forbearing is to put up with. And this is what happens. Inner peace can be reached only when, what? We practice forgiveness. It doesn't matter if the other person said, "Will you please forgive me?" You've already put it on that altar of Christ, and it's gone. If you've learned that hard lesson, And you know, and you have felt that experience. And if you can't forgive, can you have peace? Can you really have peace in your life if you can't forgive? What's the first thing that comes in your mind? With your wife or your husband or your children or what, your friends, your cousins, what? I don't care. If you can't forgive all those other things, seem to have a play in your life. Inner peace can be reached only when you practice forgiveness, and that's the truth. Stepping stones. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ. And that is that pure love of Christ, to be able to forgive. Truly forgive. And to love that person enough. You may get angry at first, or whatever the wrong that you think they've done to you. But if you've truly learned that and apply that principle, your peace will come back. And then you will find ways, you'll try to find ways to reconcile that relationship with the other person through prayer, through whatever you can. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. But it's a very important lesson to learn in your life. Moroni 7:53, wherefore, my beloved brethren. Whoops, let's get over there. Pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with his love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers or disciples of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The very thing that Joel was speaking about today. So why do you think he said, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart? We live in the flesh. We have a fleshly body. It does not come natural to us. It's a spiritual thing. It's something spiritual. We have to receive it from God to act in that way. It's his spirit. All truth comes from God. So in our fleshly body, in the flesh, it's against our nature. That's why we have to pray with all the energy of heart, that we might have that. And if you continue on, it says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope within us. And I don't even know how to slide that rascal down. But that's the rest of that 53rd verse. There is no better teacher than the Holy Spirit, and no better text than God's Word. John 8:32, it'll make you free. I hope and pray that it got some thinking about stepping stones and stumbling blocks and how we can conduct our life and apply our faith in helping not only us be a better family, a family of Christ, mothers and fathers, as we think about these things and how we can apply them in our lives. I like Snoopy. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. I appreciate your time.
We're going to use hymn number 119 in closing. 119. after the service. And Zach, son, could you close us in prayer?